There's a certain kind of a powder, and it's called snuff. Or it's called in Yiddish, tabak. And it comes in a little box, and if a person wants to be fancy about it, they take it out of the regular box and they put it into a fancy box. And if a person wants to have his own little fancy box, sometimes he has his own little silver box. Now, not everybody uses this stuff, but some people like this stuff. It's called snuff. And it's a kind of a powder that smells very good, very nice. It's a kind of a powder that smells very good. And they keep it in the little box. And once in a while, they take the box out of their pocket. And, you know, sometimes either they're falling asleep or they just want to sort of like, you know, sometimes you eat a candy, it kind of gives you a little kind of a extra chayas, extra kind of a, makes you feel a little bit better, makes you a little bit more awake, gives you some more energy. So they take this to their nose and they take a pinch of this powder and they smell it. And it smells very good and makes them feel better, very better, very much better. And sometimes even on Yom Kippur, you see people in the daytime, they're smelling this stuff, it kind of perks you up and it's not eating anything. And the minig is, the custom is, that since it's not very expensive or anything, when you take it out, sometimes other people are around, you share it. And somebody else says, oh, could I have some? And they take a little bit. And somebody else says, could I have some? And the person passes around the little box. Everybody takes a little pinch and starts smelling it. How many boys have ever seen this? Okay. You know, some people do it. Now, the reason I'm explaining it is not that you should go home and tell mommy, please, let's get some snuff so we're all smelling it around the house or anything like that. I'm just telling you in order for you to understand this story. This story is about something that happened with this powder. And it's a Baal Shem type story. Okay? Ready? A long time ago, in the time of the Baal Shem type, a group of beggars came to the town of the Baal Shem Tov. And they heard that the Baal Shem Tov gives each beggar a coin. So they lined up by the door, and the servant of the Baal Shem Tov brought out a handful of coins that the Baal Shem Tov gave him, and each one stuck out his hand, and he got one coin. The next beggar came, gets one coin. The next beggar comes, gets one coin. Each one puts his coin in his pocket and goes and sits down by the tree. Until the last beggar sticks out his hand and he gets a coin and he says, I don't want just a coin, I want to speak to the Baal Shem Tov. And usually the beggars didn't necessarily ever ask to speak to the Baal Shem Tov. All they wanted was a coin. But the Shamish saw that this man really wants to speak to the Baal Shem Tov. And that he goes into the Baal Shem Tov and says, there's a beggar who wants to speak to you. And the Baal Shem Tov says, let the beggar in. And the beggar came in, and the Baal Shem Tov noticed right away he didn't look exactly like all the other beggars. There was a certain look to him, like, you know, he wasn't just a beggar looking man. In fact, he looked like a very fine looking man. Like even he would be a rich man, but he was dressed in shmatis. He had a certain look to him. And the Baal Shem Tov says, yes, what would you like to ask? And the man said, a long time ago, I used to be a very big millionaire. I had a big, beautiful house. I had a gigantic yard. I owned fields. I owned factories. I even had lakes and forests. I had businesses. I had different houses and different buildings. And I was a big millionaire. And all of a sudden, everything went wrong. And I lost all of my money, and my house, and my businesses, and my fields, and my lakes, and my forests. And I lost every penny that I had until I finally had to become a beggar. And it happened so suddenly, so fast. And Baal Shem Tov, I know you're a great tzaddik. Please, can you tell me, why did this happen to me? I felt it happened for a reason. You know, nothing happens by itself, right? Who makes everything happen? Hashem makes everything happen, Kinalaf, and Hashem makes it happen for a reason. And sometimes we know about it, and many times we don't know about it. And who might we go to ask why something happened? Go to a tzaddik. Tzaddik has Ruach HaKodesh. And sometimes he will be able to tell us, because Hashem gives him the chokhmah, the smartness, why something happened. And the Baal Shem Tov looks at the man right in the eyes, and he says, yes, there's a reason why this happened. And it happened because of a little pinch of snuff. Because of a little pinch of powder. Remember that powder that I told you about? Because of one little pinchy. Not Uncle Pinchy, but a regular pinchy. And not this kind of pinchy. But a pinch of snuff. One little pinch of powder. This is why this man lost all of his money and all of his things. And now the Baal Shem Tov is telling him the story of what happened in his own life. Now who is ready for the story inside of the story? Sometimes there's a story, and sometimes there's a story inside of a story. So this is a good story inside of a story. Two stories, one inside of the other one. Shh. Baal Shem Tov says, do you remember a few years ago, just before you started losing all of your money and all of your things, you were sitting in shul. And you all of a sudden took out your little silver box of snuff, of that powder. And you wanted to have some. So you opened it up, and you took a pinch of snuff, and you put it to your nose. Ah, very nice. Oh, it smells so good. And your friend next to you, also a rich man, he said, oh, can I please have some? And you said, of course, you're my friend, here. And you gave him your box, and he put his little fingers in it and took out snuff, and he also went, ah, thank you. It's so good, your snuff is so good. Thank you very much. And on the other side of you, your other friend, also a very fine man, he said, oh, look, a beautiful box of snuff. Wouldn't it be nice if I also had some? And he reaches his fingers inside and takes. And you say, oh, of course, have some. It's my pleasure. I'm so glad to give you. And a few other friends came over. And all of a sudden, by the door, there sat a poor beggar. A poor beggar was sitting by the door, and all of a sudden he sees all these people taking snuff. Well, the beggar also liked to have some snuff. And he came over, this beggar dressed in his shmatas and his rags, and he comes over to you, and he reaches out his fingers, wanting to take snuff. And all of a sudden you looked up, and right before he put his fingers in the box, but his face was right there, you closed the box, and you put it back in your pocket. And you did not give him. You saw that he wanted to take, but you closed the box right in his face without giving him any. Do you remember that? And the rich man, who of course now was a beggar, he says, yes, I remember that now. I completely forgot about it till now, But I remember that's exactly what happened. The Baal Shem Tov says, in that moment, in the Shemayim, because the Malachim saw it, and because Hashem saw it, there was announced a Gzeirah. Because you know, Ken Alach, Hashem judges every person by what they do. Now, do we get judged only by big things that we do, or even a small thing that we do? Even a small thing that we do, like we learned in the beginning of the year, sometimes a very small thing can be a very big thing, right? Remember those stories? Sometimes you think it's nothing, but it's really very important. And they judged you, the Baal Shem Tov says, because you closed the box in this man's face and you did not share with him, when you could have very well given him a little pinch of snuff, because there was more powder in the box. Shh. But you just put it away. They made a gzeira that you will lose all of your money and all of your things. But you know where it's going to go to? It's going to go to this beggar. All of your things and all of your money will go away from you, and it's going to go to this beggar. And he is going to become a very, very rich man, a big millionaire, and you are going to become poor. And so it was. As you started losing your money, the beggar started getting good luck. He started getting more money, and he started selling a few things and getting money and selling more things and finding things. And slowly but surely, he bought a big house, and then he bought a big yard and fields and lakes and forests and buildings, and he became a big millionaire. And on this day, he's a very big millionaire, and you're a beggar. The rich man who became a beggar, and he was standing in Shmatas in front of the Baal Shem Tov, he says, Baal Shem Tov, is there any way that I can get my money back and become a rich man again? In other words, what is my tshuva? What should I do? And how can I get my money back again? Because I don't like to be a beggar. I don't like to stick out my hand and get a penny. And I have to get just, you know, some cold beans and 3 days old bread and drink water. I like to live in my big beautiful house again and have my own servants and have delicious, nice, hot food and be comfortable and warm and not sleep out on a bench outside in a park somewhere. I want to have my own comfortable bed with a quilt like I had before, with a pillow. And the Baal Shem Tov looks at him and he says, the way to get back your money and your house and your riches and your land and your lakes and forests and all the things that you had before is if you will go to this man who used to be poor and became rich, this beggar, and you will ask him to give you snuff, and he will say, no, he will not give you, he will refuse. Either he will close his snuff box in your face, or he just won't give you, because he'll be too busy with himself and his friends. Just like you were too busy with yourself and your friends, the Baal Shem Tov told this other man. If the same thing will happen back to you, then you will be able to get back all of your riches and maybe, who knows, even this rich man will lose his. But the main thing is that you will get back your things and everything will be turned around and reversed. And so, the poor beggar, who used to be a rich man, traveled back to his home city where this new millionaire was living now, the beggar who had become rich. And now he was living in a big beautiful mansion, big beautiful house with yards and fields and forests and lakes and property. And the beggar came to the house
and he saw a line of beggars standing by the door. He also got in line, and he saw the rich man. Of course, this is the rich man who had been a poor man before and became rich. He was smiling at each beggar, and to each one he gave a bag of money, and he said to each one, "Please come into the kitchen and have a delicious meal." And all of the beggars came and sat around the table in the kitchen, and they were eating delicious food, and the rich man himself was serving them. And the rich man all of a sudden got up and he announced with a big smile, a big happy smile, and he said, "Tonight, Be'ezus Hashem, I'm making a wedding for my daughter. Please, all of you, come this evening to the big hall and enjoy the chasana. There will be a special table for all of you with the most delicious food." As we know, Kinalach, it's very important by a chasana and by a simcha to give food also to poor people. And the Yid, who is now a beggar, he decided the perfect time to go and ask for the snuff, and I'm sure he'll probably say no, will be by the chasana. You know what's the biggest simcha by a person? A chasana is such a big, big simcha, where a person is busy with their family and their friends, and he's marrying off his daughter. He says, for sure, if I ask him by the chasana, if I just go up to him and ask him for snuff by the chasana, I'm sure he's just going to be too busy to give me any, and he'll probably either say no, or he won't even notice me at all, and he'll just say, you know, poor person, look, after all, I made you, for the beggars, I made a beautiful table, what are you asking me for snuff for? Vas dreistu mir a cup? And he said, that's where I'm going to have my chance, by the chasana. And the beggar and the other beggars, they went to the wedding, the chasana. So beautiful, so many people in a big beautiful hall, and fancy schmancy and rich people, and the band and the food and everything, and everything is now in a big simcha. And the beggar waited for, you know, when the chasan and kala come in, it's such a big simcha. Before that, people are eating and they're making l'chaim, and there's maybe dancing, and it's freilich, but everybody's waiting for the chasan and kala to come in. When the chasan and kala come in, that's when the band really gets going and the people really start dancing. And usually, the close family and the close friends of the chasan, and also the family of the chasan and the kala, the men on the men's side and the ladies on the ladies' side, they really start dancing and getting big, big simcha. And so it happened that the chasan and kala came in and they started a big, big dancing, very freilich, and they put the chasan up on the shoulders of some of the friends, and they brought now the father of the chasan and the father of the kala and the brothers to a big, big special dance and very freilich. Now remember, the close friends and the close family are dancing, and the other people are dancing off by the, in a bigger circle by the side, or they're watching and they're clapping their hands. And now the beggar says, this is my chance. This is my chance to go over to him, to the new millionaire, and drain him a cup to give me snuff. Who goes over to ask somebody for snuff now? Especially a beggar like me. Who am I anyway? Just a beggar. I'll drain him a cup and for sure he'll say no. And in the middle of this beautiful circle of dancing by the chasana, all of a sudden the beggar goes over and he's dressed in his shmatis. And he goes to all the friends and the family. And he goes right over to the father of the kala, in the middle of the circle. And he says very loud, "Can I have some snuff, please? I want snuff." And the father of the kala, the new millionaire, he stopped everything. He stopped his dancing, and he goes out from the circle of the dancing, and he turns right to the beggar, and he looks at him right in the face, and he smiles, and he says, "Of course, It'll be my biggest pleasure to give you snuff. And I have a special box in my pocket. And he takes out not only a fancy schmancy silver box of snuff, but it even has a diamond on it. Woohoo! A diamond. This is a real millionaire. And he opens it up, and he doesn't even take for himself. He gives it to the beggar, and he says, "Please, take." And all of a sudden, the beggar starts to cry. Ah, ah. And he starts to fall down on the ground, and kick and scream and cry. Ah, ah. What's wrong? "Hey, this is a simcha. This is the chasm of my daughter. Why are you crying for? Ah, it's your fault. It's all your fault." "Wait a minute. Wait, it's a simcha. And you asked me for snuff and I'm giving it to you. You didn't even take. All you're doing is crying and screaming. You're saying it's my fault. What's my fault?" "Ah, it's your fault. I lost all my money because of you. Your fault. It's all your fault. You made me lose my money. You made me lose my house and my yard and my fields and my forest and my lake. And because of you, I'm a beggar." Now, of course, this rich man, who was by the chasana of his daughter in the greatest simcha of his life, and he had just taken himself away from the dancing to share and to do kindness with this poor man, and he did it out of his heart with a smile, and now he makes this poor man to cry in the middle of the simcha and in the middle of such a good time. He couldn't understand, "What's going on? What are you talking about? I, Chas V'Shalom, didn't mean to do anything not nice to you, and here you're telling me that because of me you've lost everything you ever had. I don't know what you're talking about." And he said, "A long time ago, I was a very big millionaire and a rich man, just like you are now. And you, don't you remember a long time ago, you were a beggar?" He says, "That's right. You're 100% right. Hashem helped me that from being a beggar, I became like I am now, a rich man. But I didn't know that you became from a rich man to be a beggar." He says, "Yes, a long time ago, I was the rich man and you were the beggar. And in fact, you and I were just as close as we are now, even closer. I took out my snuff and I was sharing with my friends. And you came over to me when you were a beggar and you asked me for some. And I wasn't very nice to you. In fact, I closed my box of snuff in your face and I put it back in my pocket and I didn't give you and I made you feel bad. But I didn't even pay attention to it at the time. And after that time, I started losing all of my riches and all of my money and my house and everything I had until I became a beggar. And you got more and more wealthy until you became a millionaire. And I only found this out later on when I was begging by the Baal Shem Tov. But I didn't want to beg for money. I wanted to beg for the reason why it happened to me. And the Baal Shem Tov told me why all of this happened to me. Oh, it was so terrible." And the man who was now a beggar said, "And the Baal Shem Tov told me that the only way that I can get back all of my things and my wealth and my money is only if you will do back to me the same way that I did to you. That you will close your box of stuff in my face or you will not share with me. And that's why I came and I'm trying to get you not to give me the snuff. I didn't want you to give me the snuff. It's like I was testing you. And I thought you'd be so upset with me if I come to you in the middle of your chasana, in the big simcha, and I'm going to dray your cup to give me snuff, and I thought you'd get very upset, and you'd say no, and that way I would get my riches back again. No, but you're nice, you're such a nice man. You shared with me in the middle of your big simcha. And now, because you shared with me, it's your fault. I'll never get back my things. And boys, this is the end of the story. The millionaire who was marrying off his daughter was such a nice man and such good midos. He says, look, I'll tell you what. I feel bad for you, and I feel bad that you've had to suffer and become a beggar. I'll tell you what. You come with your family, and you live by me. Don't beg anymore. Baruch Hashem, I'm such a rich man. I have plenty of houses and plenty of property and jobs for people. I'll give you a house. I'll give you a house, a nice house for your family. I'll give you a job, and you'll make money, and you'll never have to beg again. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of you and your family for the rest of your lives, as long as Hashem benches all of us to live. And so, Kenelech, that's the end of the story. The man who used to be rich, who became poor, he moved in, and he became very close with the new rich man, and he worked for him. And Baruch Hashem, he made money, and he helped his family, and he never had to beg again. And what did we learn from the Ma'aseh Kenelech? Of course, to share, and always to do gemilus chasadim, and share what we have. And then Hashem will take care of us, and share with us, and make sure that we have what we need. And the main thing of this story is to learn something from it, like I told you. By the Goyim, they have chokhmah, they have smartness, and stories, and books, and libraries full of thousands of books, and all kinds of things, and poems, and very interesting things from the Goyim. But they don't have Torah. Torah is more than a story, it's learning something that you learn out from it, to live every day from it. Now, why was it that this rich man did not share the snuff, and from that, he lost all of his money? Now, Kinelach, he probably forgot about the bracha of why he got rich in the first place. Did he get it rich in the first place because of himself, or because it's a bracha from Hashem? Was it his own smartness, and he worked hard, and he had some kind of a koyach to make himself a rich man? Or it's only because Hashem gave him a bracha to be a rich man? Now, part of the bracha to be rich, Kinelach, includes sharing and giving tzedakah. The word in Hebrew for rich is ashir. A rich man is called an ashir. Riches, wealth, is called oisher. Now, the word for giving tzedakah is miser. Now, miser, ayin sin reish, and oisher, ayin shin reish, is exactly the same word. It comes from the same word. Now, this is a very interesting thing. Being rich, getting a lot of money, having a lot of money, is the same word as miser, giving away money. Giving away and being rich yourself. I mean, how could it be the same word? It seems if you give away money, if you're going to give away money, so you don't have it anymore. You lost it. How can you be rich if you give away money? It's two opposite things. But this is the secret, Kinelach, of the Yiddish way of being rich. By giving away, it helps you to get. What does it mean? Because you gave away, it's finished? Or maybe that will open up a bracha for Hashem, from Hashem, that because you're giving away, Hashem will bench you even to get more. And if Chas Hashem, you don't give it away, you plug up the pipe for that bracha. Now, since it's getting very halik right now, because we're talking about tzedakah, and we're talking about mitzvahs, so the doggies came out and are barking again. You see how quiet they were? All of a sudden they found out, hey, Rabbi Burstyn is speaking about something very halik. In fact, it says,
that Stucka Mikarevas is a Geula. Stucka brings clothes Mashiach. The Geula. You better go barking outside of the window of that classroom now so we make noise, or else Rabbi Berson is going to be teaching about Stucka. And the Kinnaluch just learned about the idea of Torah. You have to learn a lesson and do it. Not only you hear about it, you do it. And if they do it, that means they're actually giving Stucka. And Stucka brings clothes to Geula, so they're going to help Mashiach to come. Oyvei! The Yitzhahara doesn't want that. He's going to be out of business. Because after Mashiach comes, the Abish is going to wipe out the Ruach HaTumah from the whole world. And the Yitzhahara won't have anything to do anymore. Not even go to the gas station to work. He won't have any job. He'll be wiped out. Finished.